Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who thinks Wall Street could learn a thing or two about how business is done on Main Street.
Well, if the good Lord don't like the way I conduct business, let him say something. Let him give me a sign.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. I'm very excited about having our good friend Diana Ferscott-Roth back on the show. Diana is senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute and a columnist for Real Clear Markets, also for City Journal. And she's here to talk to us about something that I don't like very much. I don't think we need, and that's unions in the government. Diana, welcome back to the show.
It's such a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, Diana. Okay, so sometime back in the 20th century, probably, my memory serves, sometime around the 1930s, unions were obviously unions were really growing in power and strength, and they needed to be. In the industry, we needed unions in the industry. My family was a union family because the businesses needed to improve their relationships with their employees, and the union served a good purpose. But in those days, the government also, I believe that was when the government also installed or allowed, I should say, unions of federal employees. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Now, in the 30s, President Roosevelt was the president. What might surprise people is he didn't like unions in government, did he?
He did not, especially collective bargaining, because he said that unions the government is a monopoly. There's nowhere else for people to go, and it's the taxpayer who is funding the government. And government employees are taxpayers, so they're just bargaining with themselves. It's not like it's General Motors or Ford, where if there's one deal that doesn't go right, then the taxpayer can go and buy Ford cars instead of GM if they get too expensive. With the government services, you have no choice.
Right. So he didn't like them, but they got installed anywhere. And if I'm not mistaken, based on some things that I've read, my memory serves, that I've read that you've written, Diana, there is approximately 80 different bargaining units working with the government.
That's right, yes. Yes, exactly. Well, there's 80 different unions. And within that, there is different bargaining units, yes.
Yeah. So, but there are restrictions. The government unions don't have the same... They don't enjoy the same ability to negotiate that trade unions do, right? I mean, there's some things that about their employment relationship that's basically established by law, right?
Yes, Congress sets salaries for federal workers, and state governments set salaries for state workers, mm-hmm. and the strikes are not allowed.
You can't strike against the government. So the truth is, why is a union even necessary, Diana?
Well, maybe many people think unions are not necessary in the government, but people who say they are necessary say that they are necessary for labor management conditions. And union workers talk a lot about these management conditions. For example, the length of a lunch break, whether telecommuting is allowed, those kinds of things. If there's a cafeteria, mm-hmm. if there's time off, if there's a coffee break.
Right. Now, and by the way, now these 80 unions are just for the federal government, right? We're not talking about state and local governments, right?
Right, that's right. There are about 80 unions that are allowed to represent workers in the federal government.
In the federal government. So the SEIU is a state union, right? That's like you'd find especially in California, right? Those are state unions, state employee unions, right?
Yes, that is a state employee union.
Right. So,
and the AFSCME, the Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, that is also a state union.
So, these unions, these 80 unions, can't negotiate their pay. They can't negotiate the terms of their employment, but they can negotiate. They can file grievances and things like that. What do their union representatives do? You know, every union has representatives who represent their employees. What do these people do? What are their jobs? We come back after these messages. Diana Furchgott-Roth is going to tell us about some of that and how much it's costing you and me for these people to do this work that's maybe not even work. We're going to do that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Good sense, ill sense, crippling mankind. Dead kings, many things I can't define. Occasions, fires, wagons, blood to your mind.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.